Now, if you will remember, in chapter 4, between chapter 3 and chapter 4, an event takes place, and that event is the rapture. So where we are tonight in the book of Revelation, you and I are going to be there. We're going to be in heaven. We're going to be beholding these things. We're going to be seeing them. So it will not be a surprise to us as we study chapters 8 and chapters 9. In chapter 5, we saw the souls of those under the altar that had given, they were martyred for the sake of Christ during the tribulation. We will see some more martyred. But that's also the place where the souls of all those who are saved are before the throne of God. And so as we open, one of the things we remember was that God was sitting on his throne. In chapter 7, there was a little book in his hand, and no one could open the seals of that book except for the Lamb that was slain. And so John saw that. He saw 144,000 Jews sealed with the seal of God in their foreheads, which is the Holy Spirit. And we see three angels flying over the altar. And they were saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And the heaven rings with the praise and the song. And then we come to chapter 8. So as we come to chapter 8, and I find my glasses so that I can read my notes, let's start with verse 1. "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour." Up until this time, he had opened several seals. He'd opened 6. Different things had happened. We saw the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Then there were 2 other seals called the woe seals, where various things happened. And now we come to the seventh seal. He's going to be able to open the scroll and read it. And when he opened the seal, all of the praising of God stopped. All of the singing in heaven stopped. There was silence about the space of half an hour. Because even heaven realized the wrath of God was going to begin to be poured out upon the earth. And this wrath was so horrible to anticipate that no one said a word. They froze. There are 2 reactions that you and I have when we see something bad happen. We either gasp, or sometimes we're just silenced, waiting to see what is going to happen. And that's what happens here in heaven. This little is a description of how God is going to redeem the creation. You and I are redeemed already. We have placed our trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But the creation, the world we live in, is not redeemed. It is still cursed. And God is going to redeem it. because it belongs to him. The entire universe is cursed. All kinds of wickedness and things going on that affect the creation. And so the seal has been opened, and now it is time for other actions to take place. Verses 2 and 3 of chapter 8. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. The saints of God, when they pray to God with pure hearts, with no sin in their hearts, that is like incense to God. That is a blessing to him. That we would turn to him and we would offer him praise, that we would, because that's the way that we should start our prayers. We should start by thanking him. And so he values our prayers. The prayers of the saints are incense when offered to God with a pure heart. And this is not Jesus that's doing this. It says another angel came. This is simply an angel. And in Hebrews 1:4, it tells us that an angel is simply a ministering spirit. It's one of the angels in heaven that is selected for this purpose. Jesus gives them the incense, which is the redemption, which he has provided on the hill of Calvary. The elders have vials filled with the prayers. Remember, there's 24 elders gathered before the throne of God, and each of those elders has a vial, sort of like a test tube or sort of like some kind of a container that contains the prayers of the saints. And these will be poured out with the incense. That's what it tells us here. We read about it in Revelation 5:8. But Jesus is the one who provides the incense. He provides a sweet odor. And that was his death on Calvary. Jesus is the mediator between God and man. He's the one in whose name the prayers are all given. Revelation 4:8, 4, and 5. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it to the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. The fire off the altar represents the wrath of God. And since it came off the altar, it is holy. Holy fire that has been checked until this time. But there is an end to everything, even God's patience. That's what the people of earth need to be afraid of. There will be a time when God will say, I'm done. It's over. And it will not be possible for those who have heard the gospel any longer to get saved. They will be condemned to hell. Revelation 8:6 says, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. You will remember that God gave the angels, when he opened the sixth seal, the winds had been stopped and they were permitted to resume, and there were seven angels given seven trumpets. Each one had a purpose. The common feature of the first four trumpets is they are going to be judgments, and under them will be the things that will be affected under them will be natural objects. What we would call the accessories of life, the earth, the trees, the grass, the sea, rivers, fountains, the light from the sun and the moon and the stars. And the last three, the woe trumpets, which begin at Revelation 18:3, which will affect men's lives with pain, death, and hell. The language is evidently drawn from the plagues of Egypt. The five or six out of the 10 plagues that affected Egypt will be represented in those last three trumpet judgments. The hail and the fire, which is in Exodus 9:24, the water turned to blood in Exodus 7:19, the darkness in Exodus 10:21, and the locusts in Exodus 10:12, and perhaps the death in Revelation 9:18, will be judicial retribution in kind, characterizing the infections of the first four. Those elements which had been abused, punishing their abusers. Revelation 8:7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. And I'm going to go on Revelation 8:8-9. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. I don't fully understand all that, and we're going to have a little Bible lesson tonight. As men wrote commentaries, and one of the commentaries that I really like, sometimes it's way over my head, is Matthew Henry. But you see, he wrote his commentary in the 19th century, 1800s, he did not at that point understand. He had never heard of anything that could fly. He didn't know about rockets. He didn't know about all the things that we have today that we take for granted. And so he did what a lot of commentators sometimes do. If they don't understand it, they allegorize it. And so as I read Matthew Henry about these incidents, the reason I wanted to go on and pick up the next trumpet, was that he has allegorized that, and many of the old-time commentators have followed what he taught. The Bible is a living book, people. It's a book that we should love. But I believe that the best way to handle the Bible is to take it literally rather than allegorize it. And I want to take these incidents literally. Matthew Henry says that this is dealing with the Word and with the men in the church and the church itself. And I can't comprehend that. I can't read that into this. I have always understood this to be literal. As we read the Bible, with the help of God's Holy Spirit, we can come to understand it. And so I want us to look at these other angels, and then we're going to go back and not necessarily speculate, but see if we can come to a conclusion as to what might be taking place as we read this. So in Revelation 8, 10, and 11, it tells us, "And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were bitter." What is taking place here is that much of the earth seems to be suffering great destruction. Bear with me just a little longer and we'll get into this. I want us to see, we need to take a get a whole picture, which means 12 and 13. "And the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so as a third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise." Like I said, Matthew Henry wants to allegorize this, but I would like us to take this literally. These first four seals, or first four trumpets that are blown, I would like us to consider the possibilities that these are natural phenomenon that take place here on this earth. And when it talks, I don't understand the numbers exactly, but maybe in a few minutes we can see. It's possible that debris from outer space, these items that seem to strike the earth, the mountain at the second, great mountain burning with fire cast into the sea. Again, a great star from heaven, as it were a lamp burning with fire, came and destroyed a third of the earth. There is a history for these kind of events. There's a place in Russia where a meteor impacted, and there's a great meteor crater there in Russia. There's another one out in Arizona. There are different places on the earth where meteors from space have impacted the earth, but these have been small items, people, not big items. A meteor the size of a basketball would leave a crater a mile or two across when it impacted the earth. But we're talking about small things, and there are other things out there that we know about now. There's think meteors are fairly small. Most of them are about the size of a pea. When you see a shooting star, that's a meteor or a piece of a meteor. And it's burning up in the atmosphere, and it never reaches Earth. But some of the ones that are larger, they burn up. Part of it burns up in the Earth, but then they hit the Earth, and that's what created the craters in Arizona, Russia, Africa, Australia, different parts of the world. Now, when we start talking about asteroids, they're a different animal. They are large. Some of them the size of a car. Some of them the size of a bus. Some of them the size of a large skyscraper. And the properties are different to an asteroid in that they come in clusters normally. Not just one, there's other smaller asteroids traveling with them because they are normally magnetic and they have a gravity that brings the other ones with it. If one of those hit the Earth, we would know. That's the moon is marked everywhere. There's never been an asteroid strike. And yet we know there are asteroids out there and they are traveling this way. And so these are all possibilities. We can't say what these things were. Some of them are big, the size of a mountain. A star. Who's to know how large that is? But when they impact the earth, they don't impact the whole earth. They impact part of the earth. And when they impact the earth, there is a dust field kicked up, a debris field kicked up. And so we have two items here hitting the earth. One is the size of a mountain. One is a star, what he calls a star. It impacts the rivers and in a third of the earth. One side. They're only hitting one side of the earth. And there will be a dust field and a debris field kicked up. And then as we look at it, where it says the fourth angel saw it and a third part of the sun was smitten. Do you remember any, well, I don't know if any of the fires in South America have affected you here in South Carolina, but Connie and I were in Texas when they had some huge forest fires, jungle fires down in South America, and the smoke came up across Mexico and across Texas, and it actually tended to darken the sun. And that we couldn't see the moon clearly. This may be what it's talking about. The dust, the debris, the dust field would mean that we could not see but a third of the sunlight, but a third of the moonlight, but a third of the star, the light coming from the stars. And so that would explain, if we take it literally, this second, third, and fourth trumpets, the judgments that God puts upon the earth. What happens if the sun can't shine brightly? The earth cools down. It gets cold. Connie and I were in Scotland. We enjoyed the 2 days of summer they had. And that was in early July, I think. Because the sun doesn't shine as brightly there. It's too far north. Now it comes up at 2 o'clock in the morning and doesn't set till 9 o'clock at night during the summertime. But in the wintertime, it sets at 3 p.m, doesn't come up till about 10 o'clock in the morning. So it's dark. But that would explain this. And I would rather not allegorize it as Matthew Henry and some of the other, Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, and some of the other commentaries. I believe that we're better off taking it literally. So, where are we at? We are at Revelation 8:13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." And so let me remind you again, we are going to be in heaven when this takes place. We are not going to be here on the earth. The rapture will already have occurred before this occurs. The rapture will occur at the beginning of the great tribulation period, or the tribulation period of 7 years. Now, there is much more coming, and it's only going to get worse. What is coming is what the martyrs in chapter 5 were asking God to do, to take revenge upon those who killed them. And God said, wait a little while until others like you pay the price and are martyred for their belief. And so God usually warns people before he does things. God is very merciful. The Holy Spirit warned you, and he warned me, that unless we repented of our sin, and unless we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that we would wind up dying and going to hell for all of eternity, where we would be punished for our sin. He warns the world, because people are still getting saved, will still be getting saved during the tribulation period. We saw some of them already. There will be others, millions in fact. And so he warns the world to come, and we'll look at those woes, two of them right now. We go to chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. Revelation 9, 1 through 4. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. And to him, aha, he has a name. And to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Who has that key right now? Jesus has that key right now. He has the key today of David. Jesus has the key to hell right now. But when this occurs during the tribulation, when the fifth angel sounds, a star falls from heaven, and that's already occurred. That has already occurred in time. The devil is here now. And so, like, this is not chronological. Let's read it. Verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Remember in chapter 7, there were 144,000 Jewish men sealed with the seal of God in their forehead. If Satan or the devil is able to open hell with the key that he gets from Jesus Christ, is he not capable of releasing his demons? Is he not capable of causing the demons to come out of hell? And there's a description here of what these demons are like. And they're like locusts. There will be tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands maybe, coming out of hell. And they have tails, it says, like scorpions. I don't know if you've ever been stung by a scorpion, but it is a very painful wound. It's a neurotoxic type of poison. And so you can see every nerve on your... I got stung in the heel in basic training at Lackland. And the training instructor had never seen anybody stung by a scorpion before, and he didn't know if I was going to live or die. Obviously, he was disappointed. But anyway, every nerve fires up and actually lights up on your skin. You can see the nerves in the skin because they're bright red. And there is great pain. And that is the whole idea behind Satan. You know, Satan does not want anything good to happen to you. He does not. He does not want one good thing to happen to you. He wants only evil, only wickedness, only pain, only hurt, only sickness. That's what he wants. Now, God has used locusts as a form of judgment upon man. He did in Egypt. He has in other cases. There was a time out in Utah that he used locusts to, as a punishment, well, at least getting the attention of the Mormon people out there, and they would have lost all of their crops if it hadn't been for seagulls coming in and eating the locusts. They don't know where they came from, but they, when they left, the locusts were gone and their crops were saved. But God has used locusts for anyone who would be disobedient as a means of chasing them. Exodus 10, 12 through 15 tells us this. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail hath left. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And the locusts went up over the land of Egypt and rested in all the coast of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they did eat every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. So when God brings locusts for this fifth judgment, it's nothing new. It's nothing new. Remember, Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. And there isn't. It's happened before. Revelation 9, 5 through 12. And to them, talking about the locusts, it was given that they should not kill them, and that's talking about the men on earth, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of a woman, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe was past, and behold, there cometh two woes more hereafter. If you're not reading carefully, you don't realize what's going on here. The locusts sting men. The pain is excruciating. I know. I've experienced it more than once. But men for 5 months, men and women will not be able to die. For 5 months, they won't even be able to commit suicide. They'll step out in front of a bus and they'll get run over by the bus, and all they'll do is get hurt more. More pain. And it'll just be worse and worse. Put a gun to their head and blow half their brains out and they'll still be alive, suffering pain. I know a guy who did that. He blew away the right quarter of his brain. He's still alive. So for 5 months, men upon the earth will experience nothing but pain. Now, I know the description of these locusts, hard for us to understand. Remember that John is writing a description of what he has seen. John has never seen an airplane. He's never seen a helicopter. Now, I've seen helicopters out in Mississippi that look like locusts. They're used for heavy lifting, heavy items, and they're sort of a crazy-looking thing. Look, if I had to describe it, it could be a locust. I don't know what kind of, you know, what they are named, but anyway. So these are things that exist. And John is trying to describe things he's never seen. He has never comprehended. He can't comprehend. And so the way he describes them is his impression of them. The devil can create. No, I have to stop. That's wrong. The devil cannot create. He does not have the powers of Christ. But he already has the demons in hell. I don't know what the angels look like that he led out of heaven, but they are there in hell waiting to be released to torment men. Revelation 9:13-21. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the altar, golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. That's 200 million. 200 million. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and then sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. And out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was a third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for the tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Once again, the demons of hell are on the loose. And men are going to die as a result of it after this 5 month period where they could not. Men did not want to accept the way that God wanted them to live, so they get the alternative. They get the devil, and he has never loved anybody. All he wants to do is destroy and hurt. Even with all of this, men are going to continue to hate God. Folks, we have a great privilege when we can come before God and repent of our sins. And tell God that we are sorry and turn away from that sin. The world has the same opportunity even now, and they will have that opportunity in the tribulation period and even in the great tribulation period, but they will not choose it. Why did you repent? Because the Holy Spirit caused you to. Because you were willing to accept God and a knowledge of Him. And that's where we will end it for tonight before we get to that seventh trumpet. But what is going to take place here on earth is unimaginable. We think things are in a mess right now. We think things are going on that we can't imagine. And yet, it's going to get so much worse during this time. I'm just so glad that you and I are going to be gathered at the throne of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, guard our lives. Guard our hearts. May we please you with what we do. And Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit will use each one of us to be a witness, to share the gospel with those around us. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the warning that you have given us. May we respond to that warning by telling others. And we will praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.